You've got the concept and you've got the passion, but where do you go from here? Womenpreneur Strategies for Success is here to help you learn the exact tools, mindset shifts, and proven growth strategies to build the business you want while still having a life. You've got the will. Let us help you find the way. With your host, successful entrepreneur, Smita Singh.
Hello, bold and fearless entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 16 of Womenpreneur, Strategies for Success. We have crossed over 5,000 downloads. Yay! I know, I am so excited. Thank you all so, so much. I am very, very grateful to all of my listeners for giving me the support. I entered into the podcasting world a complete novice. And honestly, when I started it, it was a passion project. And now it has totally taken a life of its own. I had no online audience and literally started with 5 downloads on day one. And today, in less than 6 weeks, we are over 6,000 downloads. It's amazing. I'm so grateful to you. And a lot of you are reaching out to me, and soon I will be answering all of your questions directly on the show. There was big news yesterday. So Spotify is going to start streaming podcasts. That is great news for all podcasters. And as everyone is saying these days, podcasting is only getting better and bigger. And Spotify really enhances that. So I'm really excited to see what's in store for us. I need you guys to do something for me. I want you to go on our website, www.womenpreneursuccess.com, or text me at bold, B-O-L-D, and I want to know what's holding you back in your business. I have a lineup of amazing guests in the coming months, and I want to make sure that we can get some really insightful tips from them for your burning questions. So either leave me a voicemail on my website or text me at bold, B-O-L-D. Also, don't forget to subscribe, rate and review. And if you love this show, please go ahead and share it with your friends. Great. So today I have with me Kate and Sharon from Frill. Frill prides itself on strengthening women across the world through confidence and personality, creating looks that empower young women to achieve their best is at Frill's core. Although Frill recognizes the importance of creating a unified look, Frill also understands the need for individualism within the Greek community. So we walk with Sharon and Kate today through their journey, starting with the idea of Frill Clothing, a custom sorority recruitment clothing business, which they started in college in North Carolina, and all the way to the boardroom at Shark Tank and getting the illustrious Barbara Corcoran and Kevin on their side. It is amazing to see their perseverance, their excitement for their business, and how these girls have learned at such a young age. Today's interview is a story of a business that started as a passion and is now flourishing with a ton of nurturing and guidance from some amazing mentors. So let's get on with it with Sharon and Kate. Hi, Kate and Sharon. How are you girls doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I am so ready to rock and roll this interview with you. And we are very interested in learning about your journey through Shark Tank.
We're excited to tell you about it.
So let's get right into it. Tell us, how did you start Frill Clothing and what is it all about?
So as a sorority girl, I was tired of buying unflattering dresses for recruitment, for sorority recruitment. We were forced to buy these dresses every year, and they were really expensive and they didn't fit. And I was just really frustrated with this. So Kate and I were friends in college. I knew she had like the design background and she knew a lot about production and manufacturing. And so we came together with this idea and we started Frill in January of 2012 as juniors in college.
Oh, nice. And how has your journey been so far?
Oh my gosh, I think crazy would be the one word we would describe it with. I mean, it's amazing to see how far we've come. We started this company in college as juniors and started with only 5 accounts. And then it's just grown very naturally since then. And now we're kind of to the point where obviously it's a full-time job. Yes. We've got investors now. It's just kind of crazy the way that everything has turned out. But awesome. It's incredibly rewarding.
Nice. So before we get into the Shark Tank, let's talk about a little bit prior to that. So when you were in college and you're looking for accounts and you have this great idea, you know, how did you go about it? Did you just kind of approach other sororities and say, okay, hey, you know, y'all do this too. And what about trying, you know, this out? So tell me, how did you go about finding your first customers?
So it started with my sorority first. They were the first ones that ever supported us. And they came to us and they gave us creative rein on the design. And I knew what they liked. I knew that they liked bows and they liked coral. And so we put those ideas together and designed some skirts for them. And then we were in the News and Observer, which is our local newspaper, at the beginning stages of our startup. And one of the moms that read it told her daughter about it that was also in a sorority nearby. And then it just became word of mouth the first year. The second year, it was all social media. We had a picture go viral on Pinterest and Tumblr. So we, sororities all over the country and brides all over the country started finding out about us, and they wanted our stuff for either recruitment or their wedding.
Nice. And was it all bootstrapped?
Yes. We have bootstrapped. So from year one to year three, we have bootstrapped all the way. We never took out a loan from year one to year three. We use, you know, our own money. I mean, the great thing about our business model is the sorority girls pay money up front that covers materials and costs, and they don't expect the end product till a couple months later. And that's just how their cycle is too in college, because, you know, they go away for the summer and then they come back in the fall. So during the summer, we're producing their products and then we deliver in the fall.
Nice. Girls, you know cash is king. So you got it. You got your model right. That's awesome. When did you decide that you were going to go to Shark Tank? And why Shark Tank?
So I watched Shark Tank avidly my senior year of college. And I was just watching it. And I was like, you know what? We could probably get on this show. I mean, I feel like what we do is pretty unique. I haven't seen anything like it on this show. We only have one direct competitor. There's not a lot of people doing what we're doing. And we've made, I mean, honestly, I feel like we've made a lot of money from this, and we started with not a lot of money. So, you know, I was like, I want to get on the show. I want to do the show. And so November of 2013, I was like, we're doing the show. And I talked to Kate about it, but I really wanted to graduate first. Like I didn't know how the Shark Tank process worked behind the scenes. And I didn't want things to start moving fast while I was still trying to get my degree, because I only was 1 month away from getting my degree. So I was like, well, after I graduate, I'll look at what the audition process is and then go from there. So when I graduated, January of 2014, I looked at it and there was two options. One option was you could drive to Atlanta, which was in a couple days from when I looked at it. Mm-hmm. And you could pitch for 1 minute, which was kind of scary. But you know, as recent college grads, I was like, oh, we could do this. And we were just like really spontaneous and let's take a road trip and we'll practice it in the car. Like we'll just practice it in the car and I'm sure we'll get it, which in the back, you know, deep down, I was like, there's no way I'm going to get it in the car. And then the second option was, you send in a video with an application, but you might never hear back from them. The great thing about the open casting call was you find out like 2 weeks later for sure if you move on to the next step or not. But you know, with the DVD of your home video, you might never hear back from them.
Right, right. That's interesting. So you just kind of right off the bat knew that you wanted to get to Shark Tank.
Yes.
Nice.
I think as college entrepreneurs, we wanted to really take that leap of faith and distinguish ourselves as true entrepreneurs. And I think up until then, kind of people almost took it as a hobby. And I think we just wanted to do something profound and really prove to ourselves that this isn't just something that we came up with that we personally believe in. It's something that, you know, there's a viable market for it. The money that can be made from it is huge. And we wanted to just really do something dramatic. And I think that was one of the best things we could have ever done.
Nice. So so you went to the casting call. So you that's what you ended up doing, going to Atlanta?
No, we actually, we were thinking about it after we had our brief moment of excitement and spontaneity. We kind of realized that the amount that we would spend on travel and, you know, the gas, the hotel, all of that type of stuff, it would basically add up to the same amount it would if we hired someone to do a fairly professional video for us. And a lot of people don't even know what recruitment is. So explaining that in and of itself could take over a minute. So we kind of realized that the open casting call was not the best fit for us. So we actually hired someone locally to video us. And we had, I guess it was about 8 minutes worth of footage where we answered a bunch of questions that they provided to us. And I think it was really important because they gave us a chance to not only answer their questions, but show some of our personality.
Nice. You went ahead and did the video and you did all of the, you showed your stuff that you had made and all of that.
Yes.
Did you have any customer testimonials?
So we wore our own products, and then in the background we had a ton of sorority pictures where all of the girls in the sorority were wearing our product. And I think that really intrigued them, as well as the fact that our business model is so unique and the fact that we're so young.
Right. That's great. You found a pain point and you guys are trying to fix it. That's awesome. So you went ahead and you sent in the video, and then how long did it take for you to hear back? And what were you doing in the meantime? Were you just like, oh my God, what's going to happen? Or what did you do?
So I sent in the video. My brother's like a tech guru, and he's the one who helped us put it like on a DVD, and him and I tested it on our computers, and we tested it on a DVD player because, you know, we wanted to make sure it worked. I sent them like two copies. We sent in the application, and that was January 2014, and I turned it in, and I like didn't look back because I honestly didn't want to think about it or get my hopes up. I just kind of pretended we never even did that because, you know, I mean, it's a big world of people who watch that show, and I felt like the likelihood of us getting contacted back was very slim. Mm-hmm. So I just didn't want to get my hopes up. And then February.
So y'all decided to go on Shark Tank because you wanted to grow? Or was it a point where you really needed the money? Or was it just like, hey, you know what? We're fine right now. If we get the money, that's great. And that'll help us scale it.
The latter of that. At the time that we started applying to Shark Tank, we didn't really need the money. And we were just more doing it to prove to ourselves that we could. And obviously it'd be a great marketing experience, but it's funny how the world works, because by the time that we ended up filming, we really did need the Shark's help. And it was just kind of perfect timing.
Nice. And we really wanted their expertise and their connections.
Right. Yeah. Awesome. Okay. So yes. So go on with your story. I'm ready.
So February, they called me and they left a message, and I like freaked out, and they were like, hey, your video doesn't work, but we still want to see it. Oh. And I was like, oh my gosh. Like they actually liked our packet of information that we wrote down about ourselves, where we tried to be interesting with the pen and paper. They liked that enough to like follow up with the call for us to still see this video, even though, you know, the video didn't work. And so I quickly like ran to my computer and I uploaded it to YouTube. And they saw that and they loved it. And then we moved on to the next round because they loved us and they loved like the concept.
Nice. So till then, were you thinking about, okay, if they call us, what are we going to ask? How much are we going to ask for? And let's talk a little bit about the financial part of that.
When we first started the application process, we obviously had a number in mind in general, but it wasn't something we really broached until it got closer. There's so many rounds of paperwork that are filled with questions about yourself and then the company and then all of the numbers relating to the company that you don't really get down to what would you be asking for specifically until it gets pretty close. Mm-hmm. So we had a number in mind, but we weren't really set on it and tied to it until it got pretty close.
Okay. And then, so you went on it.
We filmed in late June. And I mean, I think we were pretty well prepared. We were as prepared as we possibly could be prior to flying out there. We actually had a friends and family night where we assigned sharks to different family members. So my dad, for example, was Mr. Wonderful, and they grilled us. I mean, we thought we knew our numbers, but, and we did, but it really helped us realize what we still needed to learn. And we recognized that there were a lot of percentages we hadn't looked at. So we knew what our numbers were and we knew what our money was, but we didn't necessarily know the percentage of return customers per se, or, you know, like different percentages of growth. It's something that, yeah, you could figure out on the spot, but you obviously don't want to. That's information you want to have memorized as well. So doing that was really vital to our success, and obviously watching as many episodes as possible and taking notes. Also prior to filming, Sharon and I went over who would be answering what types of questions. So we had a whole list of them that we had studied and we knew who would answer, but we wanted to be prepared in the event that they ask us something we weren't ready for and who would answer that type of question. So Sharon is on the marketing side of things and sorority side of things. So if one of the questions asked related to one of those two things, that would be the question that she would answer. And we went into that situation knowing that, and that obviously helped dramatically because it saved us from those awkward moments where we're just staring at each other going, no, you do it. You do it.
Right. Awesome. So you did like a full preparation. Let's talk a little bit about equity. So how did you decide how much equity would you be willing to give away?
We talked with a couple of different people about it. My boyfriend is actually a financial advisor, and we talked with our accountant about it. One of the things we recognized in studying and watching a ton of episodes was that so many people shoot themselves in the foot over the fact that they have overvalued their company. And for that sheer fact, a lot of sharks will get out, even if it's a good company to support. You know, the idea is good. So we went into it knowing that we wanted a very realistic valuation. I mean, one of the things I think a lot of entrepreneurs struggle with is knowing where their company has the potential to be in the future. And that's what they try to value it based off of. But we chose a safer route and we valued the company based on all of our sales to date.
Nice. So you went and you were completely prepared.
Yeah.
So then you go into the sharks, you go in to meet with the sharks, and tell us what happened.
As you guys saw, it was kind of a feeding frenzy. We had a lot of sharks fighting over us. It went really well. We were really prepared, and I think we answered all the questions extremely well. We got a deal.
Nice. Tell us, walk us through what happened next. So behind the scenes, you got the two sharks, and what and how did it all work out?
So after that, each side does their due diligence, and the sharks really pry into your company. They pry into all the numbers and the data, and even just, you know, why your business exists and how you've gotten each client. And they just really dig into all of the details of your business and who we are as people and what our way of thinking as entrepreneurs are as well. And then you try to close with them as soon as you can. The sooner you close, the better. So it's more real and live when your episode airs. And so we closed in November. So they were like officially our partners in November, at the end of November, early December. And so we were officially partners since then. So it was really hard to, you know, wait for our episode. And there wasn't much like we could do with them publicly because you know, like, yes, they could send like an email on our behalf, but like we couldn't really do that until like our episode aired and everyone knew.
Right, right. So how are you leveraging the sharks in your day-to-day business?
So the shark, you know, people ask me all the time, how often do you talk to the sharks? And it's one of those things where, well, they're celebrities and they're busy, but you can always schedule a time to talk to them. But most of the time, we work with their liaisons because they can filter most of our questions. Kevin actually has a partner, so we work with his partner and we talk to him when, you know, Kevin's not easily accessible. And then Barbara has a business development guy who answers most of our questions. And, you know, they just, I mean, they give us financial advice, they give us business advice, and of course they let us make the final decision at the end of the day because we know our business is, you know, better than they do, but they give us guidance as to where to go in the future. But they're a great go-to, and you know, after the tank, they gave us a lot of good ideas and we've implemented them, and they are really good ideas.
Yeah, and a lot of leveraging them on a daily basis comes in the emails that we send to people. So we've been able to form a lot of partnerships or business connections that we might not otherwise be able to form without them. So it's a lot of power behind the name type of situation.
Right, right. So definitely networking, and you're able to open up a lot of doors.
Exactly.
Nice. So you went from this business that's y'all started in college, and now you're in Shark Tank. Obviously, you've grown a lot. You know, you've gotten a lot of media attention. You're scaling. What maybe are two key points that entrepreneurs should keep in mind when they're growing their business?
Oh, that's a tough one. There's so much. The ultimate thing that any entrepreneur should do is take a step back and really evaluate where you want the future of your company to go. And as an entrepreneur, I know that's incredibly difficult. We get caught up in the day-to-day routines and really in the minute details of getting a specific order out. But it's really important to take a step back and to really evaluate the market to see where the most growth potential lies and how we want to move forward so that we can reach that growth potential.
Right. So basically align your vision to your daily, what you're doing and your contacts and stuff like that.
Interesting. Right. And then I think the other thing would be to just not spread yourself too thin, to make sure you stay true to your customers and really hone in on perfecting the products you're providing to them instead of just trying to get everyone that you possibly could with that reach. So we're targeted to sororities. We want to make sure that we provide them with all of the products that they would need for recruitment and house tours and all of that fun stuff. But we don't want to expand too much into doing stuff for a bunch of random people just because that's time consuming from our standpoint and we're already focused on sorority. So just kind of staying true to your customer base and realizing that you want to focus your time and energy on them.
Right. You know, I'd heard somewhere, and I can't quote who the person is, but somebody said, the riches are in the niches.
Right.
Definitely. You know your niche and go deep instead of going wide.
Exactly.
It's really funny you say that because that's what the Sharks really wanted us to focus on after the tank. Yes.
Very nice. Very nice. Okay. So as, you know, a couple of women entrepreneurs and y'all are young, what do you think are maybe the biggest challenges that women face in the fundraising space?
As far as young women, getting enough respect from the community and everybody around, just because of our age, age is something you can't hide, you know? Right. And so just, you know, making sure that people... It was hard in college because we had a business. We were paying government taxes. We were making sales. We were making hundreds of thousands of dollars in sales and trying to convince people of that you have a real business. It's not a hobby. You know, we're not just college kids that have a hobby. That was difficult. And, you know, in college, I would pitch to investors and these – or fake investors. I would do, some of those
e-games.
Yeah. What are they called?
The pitching sessions?
Competitions. I would do like pitching competitions and stuff. And it was always like the tech guys that moved on to the next round. And that was really difficult because
you did go to pitching competitions when you were in college?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so tell us maybe a couple of experiences from that.
Well, it was honestly harder than the Shark Tank, honestly, because unlike the Shark Tank, there is a big clock usually that is facing you. And so you're like staring at this clock and you've got to get your pitch out. Mm-hmm. And for us, it was so hard because our concept is not, if you don't know anything about Greek life, our concept is really hard to say in like 5 minutes.
Right.
Because you had to like explain Greek life, you have to explain why they need this thing and why it is something that you can make sales off of. And so the clock was the hardest thing to beat.
Also in the, you know, pitching competitions and the whole angel and VCs, because investor has their niche, you know, so to be able to find the perfect match is harder.
Yeah. And I mean, even after we signed with the Sharks, it was still a little difficult to explain to them our products. Like, what is the difference between this fabric and another one? And why does it cost this much to produce? Or, you know, just explaining the details of a garment to someone who might not necessarily be a woman is a little more difficult, obviously.
Right.
But I mean, with education, you normally can kind of reel them in.
It's really funny because, you know, Barbara's team, they get it right away. And then Kevin's team it was a little difficult to explain to Kevin's team that, you know, a jersey knit dress is not something you wear for formal recruitment sometimes.
Right.
And obviously a jersey knit dress is going to be way cheaper than some dress that's made out of a cotton sateen and is lined and is, you know, double zero to size 32. So,
I mean, I had like a 30-minute conversation with Kevin's partner about jersey and he just wasn't getting it. I was like, jersey is like, you know, your pillowcase and jersey sheets and, you know, it's
bathing
like,
suit.
Like your pajama pants. It's not something, you know, it was hard for them to understand. But, you know, Kevin's team really values the fact that we are women. And I really like that about them. I mean, Barbara's team too. And I think that's what they really liked about us is that we're young women entrepreneurs. And the entrepreneur space really respects women entrepreneurs right now, I feel like.
True. I think it's taking that step and moving forward with it is sometimes a roadblock for women entrepreneurs. Once they step out of it, I think there's a lot that we can do.
Exactly.
Definitely. Let's talk a little bit specific about some of the financial metrics. Were there some particular metrics that they had looked into to make sure that you had a viable business, or maybe something that you look on a day-to-day basis that would help out a woman entrepreneur to say, hey, these are what I need to pay attention to the most?
When you're working with the Sharks or any investor for that matter, you really need to know every single number that there is to know about your company. So obviously, you need to know your monthly sales, your profits and losses, and you really need to be able to explain to them where your most costs are so that they can help you bring those down. And that's obviously what we work on a daily basis, is really seeing where we have the most room for growth as far as our profit is concerned, and then how can we work with different vendors and make different connections so that we can really optimize those.
Right, so reducing your cost of goods.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And what skills do you think are imperative for women entrepreneurs?
I think as women, we try to multitask a lot, which is great, but there are times when we need to strictly focus on a couple of select things. And I think just making sure you set aside time to really focus on those and just kind of have a time that's set aside where you dedicate that allocated time to a given project or to a given customer, or just setting goals for yourself and making sure that they take a priority. Because, I mean, as any business person, it's easy to get caught up in the, I need to respond to this person's email and I need to help this employee figure out what they're doing, and just kind of the rat race of the day, and just making sure that you don't get caught up in the multitasking, but that you really focus on the end goal.
And if you could offer a first-time entrepreneur only one piece of advice about funding or money, what would it be?
I would say that it doesn't always take a lot of money to start a business. Obviously, it depends on like what you're getting into. But I mean, for us, we started with like $500 total, and we've raised it to be a six-figure company. And I never thought you could grow something that big with that little amount of money at the beginning. And so, you know, I always think that you should dream big and not be too scared to take a leap of faith, even though you don't have a lot of money, because you can make, if you work hard enough and you push on and you use your connections and network and do all of these things, you will get to where you need to go with the little you might have.
All right. Are you ladies ready for our lightning round?
Yeah.
Great. So we'll start So we'll go, maybe we'll start with Kate first. Kate,
oh my
are
gosh.
You ready?
Ah. No, can we do Sharon first?
All right, Sharon, you ready?
Uh-huh.
Okay, great. So what trophy would you want on your mantle?
I would like the Oprah trophy, because I tend to be the friend that everybody can come to and release all of their problems on. And I like, it's funny because a lot of people will come to the Frill office, you know, whether it's, you know, B2B clients or my friends or just random people or clients, and you know, we'll do business and then they'll just tell me about their problems and I'll just like talk to them and I soothe them, and you know, they come back and we'll just like talk for hours at my office. And so I think I should get the Oprah trophy.
All right. Sounds good. And what is your guilty pleasure?
My guilty pleasure. Well, it's not chocolate. I'm probably like the only girl that likes chocolate.
You probably are.
Watching really bad TV, or just, you know, like silly reality shows, and The Bachelor.
Yeah, so like binging on TV.
Yeah.
What are you currently reading?
Shark Tales by Barbara Corcoran. She sent us a signed book after. Nice. And I'm also reading Maria King's new book that she just released.
All right. And what is your one productivity hack?
Oh, music, dance music. Oh. And dancing. Dancing when I like need a break from whatever I'm doing. And
nice. Yeah. That's interesting. What is your personal motto?
There is a Maya Angelou quote. There's actually two quotes. So Steve Jobs said a quote, stay hungry, stay foolish. And then Maya said, I can read it to you if I can find it. We might have to go to the next question. And
that's
then,
okay. That's okay.
We'll come back with Maya.
Definitely. And what would you do different if you were given another chance?
Honestly, different with the business or different in life?
Anything.
I'm a firm believer that everything happens for a reason. Everything in my life, I feel like, something may happen and then a few years later, a few months later, a few weeks later, a few days later, something else happens and I'm like, oh, that's why that original thing happened. And I just really believe that everything happens for a reason. Absolutely. But I mean, if there was one thing I could redo, it would be to have a little more fun in college, because we had a startup in college and I think it was just, it was everything to me. So I surrounded my whole life by working, and sometimes I wouldn't go out with my friends that are now moved out of the area. Mm. Sometimes I wouldn't go out with my friends because I had work to do. I just wanted to answer emails. And I just wish that I would let myself be a little more flexible with that. But like I said, I do really believe that everything happens for a reason, and we wouldn't be who we are now and where we are now if it wasn't for all the other things that happened in my life.
Absolutely. Awesome. Thank you, Sharon. Nice. Kate, are you ready for your turn?
Yeah.
Okay. all right. So what trophy would you want on your mantle?
I would want the best friend award, because I really like, I like knowing that I'm being a good friend to people. And I don't know, that's like what I thrive on.
Nice. What is your guilty pleasure?
Shoes. I can't get enough of them. They're my weakness for sure.
Nice. What are you currently reading?
I'm reading a book about blogging, and then I'm also reading Girl Boss, which is written by the founder of Nasty Gal.
Nice. Yep. And what is your one productivity hack?
The same thing, to just put those headphones in and crank up the music and just get to work.
Get to work. Awesome. What is your personal motto?
Oh, gosh. I don't really have one, but I guess it would just be to do everything wholeheartedly and honestly, because I really believe that as long as you are being true to yourself, that will come across to other people. And I think everyone should be treated with respect and deserves. I don't know. I feel like honesty is always the best policy. So that's, I don't know. I guess that's what I go by.
Yeah. And what would you do different if you were given another chance?
I don't know that I would do anything differently. I've, like Sharon, I've had a lot happen in my life, but I really think that everything that has happened has led me to where I am today, and I'm a really happy person about it. So I don't really want to change anything.
Nice. And that comes through too. So definitely. Awesome. So did you find that Maya quote?
Oh, yes, I did. It says, my mission in life is not merely to survive, but to thrive, and to do so with some passion, some compassion, some humor, and some style.
I like that. I'm going to find that. All right, girls, that was awesome and amazing. And tell us how we can get a hold of you.
The best way to get a hold of us is by email. So if a sorority is interested, they'll email sorority@frillclothing.com. If they're interested in individual purchases or bridal purchases, they can email us at bridal@frillclothing.com. But be sure that everyone tunes in and watches Shark Tank Live at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on ABC.
Very nice. Awesome, girls. Thank you so much. You were wonderful, and we wish you all the best. We want to hear more about what y'all are doing and doing great stuff.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sharon and Kate.
This concludes another episode of Womenpreneur Strategies for Success. Be sure to visit us at womenpreneursuccess.com so you don't miss any of our tips from some of the industry's leading entrepreneurs, investors, and business owners. Remember, you've got the will. Let us help you find the way. Until next time.